Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
What?
Welcome.
To what?
The Who Goes There podcast.
Episode
403.
Actually, it's labeled 404.
Actually, it's 404.
Well, I mean, I've labeled it 404.
It is 404, you're right.
It's technically 404, but we could call it 403 if you'd like.
It doesn't really matter, you know, because it's all... it's all a construct.
It's time.
Anything past the first nine numbers is... dude, there's a dude. Riangle.
No. Sorry. No.
Okay. We don't need any numerology lessons here.
Welcome to the Gozer Podcast, episode 404. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is
Ree. We're actually going to be talking about numerology a lot today, so buckle up.
Why?
Just kidding. Oh. We ain't talking about shit.
So what's going on?
How have you guys been?
Oh, yeah. He's asking us. How have you been?
It's good. Just video games, movies, nothing new. I only checked out one thing this week, and it was because Courtney was gone for the week, so I kind of had a chance to watch something that she probably...
Is she still gone, or is she back?
She's just house sitting right now and okay. Babysitting her sister. But
so you're a little stir crazy right now.
A little bit, yeah. But I decided to surf through all the streaming shit and find something like I can watch that she said no to before that I probably wanted to watch low key. And I found something. I was like, you know, I never did watch this, and I didn't actually want to watch it when it first came out because I'm not into like glorifying the exploitation of victims, boy, of serial killers and all this shit. Like, I listen to all my true crime on podcasts.
Dahmer, I bet.
Yeah. So I finally checked out, what's his name? Ryan Murphy's Dahmer show with starring Evan Peters. Finally watched it. The hype.
Yeah!
Been dead for a while. I don't think anyone was ever talking about it now, but well, I finally watched it. It was nice because
most of the people in that show have been dead for a while.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's good you watched it outside of the hype, actually, I think. So
with the true crime, just because I was upset. I had my true crime phase, so I was like, I just know everything. I have all the books. I listen to all the podcasts. I don't need to even watch even...
Killers of the Flower Moon sucks.
Yeah.
True.
Not as good as the real thing. Yeah, no.
The real fucking slayings in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So Dahmer was... dude, because I knew of its how infamous it was for its fucking, you know, its portrayal, and it's criticized for being a little insensitive, its exploitation, but I was... and it is all those things, but damn, it's fucking... it's pretty schnazzy with its fucking style. It's...
what, you know what else, too? It's a fucking... to me, it's a, like, peak example of consistency and tone.
It is.
What do you suppose people mean when they say it's insensitive?
I think it's because...
it comes from the family members of the survivors, which I can actually... they've been... I'm sorry.
Well, no, you're right. Go ahead. Go with that.
Yeah, the family members spoke up. And and they said, how many times do we have to be re-traumatized about hearing about this? Because it is sensationalized. And when it happened, it was all over the fucking news. And they've done adaptation and film adaptation at you know, and it to them, it feels like they're well, if I'm putting myself in their perspective, empathetically, not just sympathetically, but imagining I have a family member who got fucking raped and eaten by this fucking guy. You know, I don't want to call him a fuck for some reason because it's like, don't talk about Dahmer that way. That's fucked up. Like he's
and know. It's not that old of a case, you know.
Like, no, it was the early 90s, yeah. late 80s. Like I remember, it was like when Silence of the Lambs fucking won Best Picture. Like it's fucking dope.
Yeah,
but it's not if you're fucking,
yeah. So
if you know a person that was fucking a victim,
yeah,
I could see that's a different thing. So it, you know, when I read that and heard that. And put myself, I could, it's that cognitive dissonance you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, did I think that the show's fucking very well done? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do I think it's sensationalized? Yeah. Because number one, Dahmer shouldn't be hot. That guy, he good.
Yeah.
And Dahmer is not good.
He can get it.
He can. Dahmer can get it.
He did get it.
He did get it.
Yeah.
Lots of times.
See, and they don't want to see this guy like fucking, they make him into some pimp-ass dude.
So, I was hoping
that more of the show would be like that episode 6. I'm on episode 8 of 10. And episode 6 was heavy, but that's
the best
one. I read an article about it, and it's like what they call it is it's responsible art. Like that's, I think how they handle that was fine. That, and I wish they would handle the rest of the show like that. But, you know, you can only have it so much about the victims, and then you would have nothing about Dahmer himself. So showing that in the backstory with the dad and everything, and well, Richard Jenkins is phenomenal in it. It's probably some of his best work ever.
Yeah, and he's a great supporting actor. His whole career of great supporting acting. I agree, man. And that episode 6 is the one where he has a lover and starts getting the emotional connection.
Yeah,
and then when the guy talks about leaving, it's like, no, that's not going to work. Yeah,
it's the only victim that you get the whole picture from literally the first seconds is his birth all the way up to his upbringing and then meeting Dahmer. And then, obviously you know what happens to him. But holy crap, that show is it's pretty, even though I already know everything, but seeing it dramatized, it's like the emotional impact is obviously more there.
Well, and it's unfortunately timely, too, like the stuff about the cops.
Oh, how they handled it.
People go.
It was a fucking shit show. And it was so distressing for me watching it that I had to just skip to episode 10 real quick and just like watch Dahmer get fucking bludgeoned to death.
Wow.
And then I was like, cool, all right. And then I went back and
fuck, dude?
Because I was hoping, I was like, do they show it? Because obviously I know what happened to him, but I was like, are they going to show it? So I went, I almost skipped to 10.
So you're like Dahmer.
That's a crazy ass way to have watched that show. That's wild.
He's fucking cheating.
I cheated.
Man.
Yeah, I cheated. Yeah, I got to episode 7 or 8, and I was like
fucking playing a game, and you put the like on regular Nintendo, and you played like 2 levels, and put a password in, and went to the end.
You game genied it, dude.
You game genied that fucking show.
You know
show.
How many video games I cheated? I still know all the Grand Theft Auto cheats. I know all the Half-Life 2 cheats.
What about the Doom cheats, bro?
And all the Doom cheats. I have the Doom cheats.
What about the joke that everyone makes and like a lot of people are thinking of right now? Up, down, left, right.
Assault combat, dude.
Yeah.
Kojima code? I'm talking about IDDQG. You know about that?
Konami code?
What about Justin Bailey, dude?
IDKFA? You know Metroid. That one? You know that one, homie? I bet your brother knows all the fucking Doom.
I don't know that probably. Shit. I don't know the Doom one. Do you know Justin Bailey?
Damn. You know Justin Bieber, dude?
Do you know Justin?
Are you talking video games right now?
Justin Bailey. Do you know about it?
No.
Oh! Damn, that's generational shit right there. On the original Metroid.
On the original Metroid.
On the NES one, you put in Justin Bailey as the code, and it shows you can be Samus without the helmet.
Yeah.
And that's what revealed it was she was a girl.
Yeah.
People didn't know until you beat the... Usually you have to beat the game and then you play it.
And not many people beat fucking Metroid.
Yeah. And it was like, Justin, oh my God, it's a girl. This was a breakthrough idea.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was 4 years old.
It's something you had to find out about.
No, the Metroid is a blank spot. My introduction to Metroid was Prime.
That's
1 and 2.
Fricked.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. Thankfully, it's a fucking enduring series and Prime is a fucking classic.
Yeah.
Fantastic game. So that's not bad either. But back to Dahmer, dude.
No, that's all I watch is Dahmer. I'm loving it.
I can't believe you.
Yeah.
Dude.
I wanted to see his head get crushed. And it was.
So you went episode 2, then 10.
No, I watched everything. Yeah, I went up to like 8, and then I was like, you know what? I got to watch this guy get got. And it
that's,
was.
That's still crazy.
It's like fucking Mario. Super Mario Brothers on
it's
NES.
It's the Star Road.
Yeah.
It's the Star Road.
It's worse.
It's the Star Road on Super Mario World.
No, it's worse. It's worse. On the original one, again on NES, where you get to like a certain level underground and you can pick to go to warp to level 5, 6, or 7 and just skip the whole game. Yeah. Like you're fucking yourself. You're like, oh, I just can't. I just want to beat this.
Really?
Like, you don't want to play the game?
I'm enjoying the show more now. I was like yeah.
But I remember doing that though, like, fuck, I guess I'll have to warp. I'll warp to level 7 and just fucking not play this
game.
And
it's all doo doo doo
doo doo. Yeah, and then like the difference in difficulty between you're jumping from level 2 to like level 7.
You're fucked. And you only have 3 lives.
I have no practice. I don't know how to do this shit.
Yeah.
I need to go on the fucking block and hit the turtle fucking a lot to get all the lives.
Yeah.
Which is not on fucking level
And then
7.
When you hit that black background stage with the mushrooms, you have no idea what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I did watch one more thing in theaters. This is my first time in the theater in like a month. I usually go like every week like you to see new releases. I've been very comfortable at home just watching shit there. But I finally managed to I dragged my feet doing it, but I finally went out to the theaters and caught an IMAX showing of a little movie called The Beekeeper.
Shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah, dude. You did, man. I did. I was like, poor things. Iron Claw, all these movies.
Die Hard.
Yeah.
I was like, Beekeeper, dude.
And it's almost, there's a case to be made that it's almost like episode worthy. It's so campy and fucking so dumb. And with the dialogue is insane, dude. Like, this is the most like,
it's got like a 72.
Yeah, no, it's because it has no problem
being dumb as fuck.
Yeah, it totally embraces it. It's fucking David Ayer, which I didn't know until like the minute I started watching the movie.
It's like the whole deal with Cranked, right? Because it's so absurd that people actually really love the Crank.
No, movies. I love Crank 1 and 2. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And this movie is like low rent John Wick. I mean, the writer, what's his name? Fucking, he wrote like some of the most ridiculous action shit, some movie producer writer. And fucking, they're really trying to make a John Wick with like a universe and everything. Like they have the alternative chicks behind lo-fi computers at the headquarters, kind of like John Wick.
They
have like the lo-fi green and black computer DOS shit. Yeah. Like they're really trying to do the whole John Wick spiel. But I will say, the dialogue alone is worth the price of a ticket. I mean, the shit that he says in this movie, like...
So The Beekeeper, greater than Night Country.
Maybe.
But also greater than Killers of the Flower Moon.
It's better than Killers of the Flower Moon, and it's better than the last Candyman movie.
If someone's just listening, they're like, these guys fucking think Beekeeper is better than Killers of the Flower Moon. Which we do, but not for the reasons you're thinking.
Yeah.
For all the other reasons.
Yeah. It's all for the undertones.
Yeah, you would never understand.
Yeah.
There's some shit he says in this where he's like...
Isn't there some shit where they talk about like fucking honey being flammable?
Yeah, there's flammable honey. There's
flammable as fuck.
He says shit like... There's guys who says to be or not to be. And then while he's like choking out Jason Statham, he says, I choose to be. And then there's shit like... I'm a beekeeper. I need to protect the hive.
That would only be funny if it wasn't trying to be funny and was being serious.
No, the way he delivers it,
it became funny.
It's like everyone's groaning in the audience, and I'm like, dude, this is fucking great.
No, this is peak entertainment.
This is peak entertainment. What else does he say? He says some wild shit. I posted all in the Discord, but dude, I had a good time. It's ultra violent. There is a lot of action. Like your fucking Josh Hutcherson or whatever the fuck his name is from the new Five Nights at Freddy's. He plays a great, just total douchebag villain. Yeah, PETA from Hunger Games.
No good.
Yeah, he plays.
Can't catch a break.
He plays a total prick. And it was just crazy seeing like American email phishing companies, you know, rather than like the overseas, you know, like they were. It was very interesting. I was like, that's not really how it is. I think,
damn.
Americans have better ways to fuck us out of our money.
Yeah.
Fucking beekeeper got you, dude.
I'm fucking...
You're a beekeeper,
I'm
Stan.
I'm bee-pilled right now, dude.
Honey-pilled.
Honey-pilled. Yeah.
Damn, dude. That's fucked.
What about you, eh?
Okay, so
Walking Dead?
No. In preparation of tonight's movie, Virus. Well, not even in preparation. I just was like, oh, this sounds good. I started watching the Star Trek movies. The Next Generation movies.
Yeah! So it's just like the other ones. Every other one is good.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I watched, truthfully, in preparation for tonight, I watched First Contact.
Fucking great.
And I forgot how... How crazy it is that they decided, they're like, you know what, dude, we're going to make the Borg, but fuckable.
Well, the Borg Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, so if you haven't seen First Contact, You have had to have watched like a
it's whole, not a good place to start.
It's not a good place to start because you had to have known that Picard was taken by the Borg and turned into a Borg, and Locutus is his name. And
it would fucking help. Yeah.
Right. So you start out First Contact, and he's having these flashbacks to the fucking Borg and all this and that. About halfway through this movie, and there are things happening around it that is crazy. There's like a fucking, the first warp flight, warp space flight.
Yeah, freaking Rollo Tomasi is in it.
Yeah. So there's crazy shit happening, but this is post Data having his like emotion center, and if you also haven't watched
Generations,
you don't know about this shit, right? So he's like,
and it sucks to have to watch Generations. Yeah.
So there's a moment where he goes, "You've reactivated my my emotional center," and then they graft skin onto his arm, and he basically comes in a chair
because he's on ecstasy now.
Him, Data, and the Borg Queen, the implication is that they fuck.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's a meeting of the minds.
Yeah. And also like dicks and robot pussies.
All the stuff.
It's crazy, dude. Like when you see the Borg Queen and her introduction is like basically the top half of her torso and then like her chest and a spine. And it drops into a body.
Which is horrific, actually.
It is horrific.
And then it's sexy once she's in the body.
And once she's in the body, she's got fucking tits. And she's, like, sweaty. She's dewy.
You know why it's good? Because it hits on, like, the truth. Because behind, like, the body, it's, like, it's the spinal column and the central nervous system eyes.
That's all you need.
That's me talking to you right now.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm, like, a little fucking squid thing and I have appendages. You know what I mean?
So I'm watching this movie, right? And it's been a bit since I took a deep dive on like anything Star Trek related. And I'm mostly like a Next Generation kind of fella. Like, you know, I don't really fuck with Picard. I'm sorry, not Picard, but Shatner era Star Trek too much. But this motherfucker fucks. First Contact is awesome.
It is awesome. And even though that's the thing, so I do agree with you, it's hard to find a good entry point with Star Trek. It's notoriously hard because there's so much lore. There's so much.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, too, they never got so fucking big. Like they weren't the MCU. Even at their peak, it wasn't like just world conquering. It wasn't like Star Wars. But because of that, it's become, you know, the super niche enduring thing it is, right? But it's, even if you didn't know any of the context, like, it's still a fun movie because it's fucking, it moves fast. Like, the pacing's good. The characters are fun. There's some cool scenarios. Like, that's the only one where I remember them walking on the outside of the fucking ship with anti-gravity boots.
Or, no, magnet boots.
Magnet boots. Sorry. Yeah, that wouldn't make sense because I don't know what that would mean. But yeah, there's some dope shit.
Yeah. It's nuts, dude. Like, I remember very distinctly, like, coming home from, like, 5th and 6th grade and watching Star Trek reruns basically for hours and, you know, by myself. And man, I like, yeah, dude, like the effects are cheesy and the Borg is goofy as fuck in this movie. But I gotta tell you, it holds up, man. The Borg Queen
it's got good ideas, man.
It's got really good ideas.
And the time travel thing at the beginning, like, it just like, it's like, hey, we're being pursued by the fucking Borg, and it's a Borg sphere.
We're going to the past.
Like, we're fucked.
Yep.
Like, and it's because it's bad news, man. They were waiting for this, Jacob, for the Borg just to... They were a sleeping giant, dude. They were assimilating shit in the far reaches forever, and now the time has come, dude.
The Borg, what's the equivalent of, like, the MCU? Is the Borg, like, your Thanos, your moment?
So, Virus is the movie we're doing. We're going to talk about it.
Yep.
The Borg is, like, virus stuff, but not on meth.
Yeah.
Like, actually yeah. Like, you can't hit it with a pipe and it falls apart. This hyper-evolved electromagnetic entity is really, like, trying to do stuff, and it makes the worst fucking things ever. It just wants to be weird at all costs. It's not efficient. It's like, I want to be gross and ugly and fall apart if you push me. Wait a minute. So, but you don't know the Borg?
No, I do. I do. Oh. No, I was just saying, like,
oh, what's the equivalent? You're all, yeah, that's not what I'm talking about, ref.
Yeah,
oh,
idiot.
I was just letting you do your thing. You're good.
I'm gonna let you finish and finish.
What's the equivalent of the Borg?
Was that like a huge deal when they revealed the Borg?
The equivalent of the Borg, because it's like the fatalism of, like, it's the end. Like, it's Thanos.
It is,
like,
okay.
It's like, you know, it's not about, Thanos is an individual person, but it's the looming threat. Once it's introduced, like, it's like the threat.
Yeah.
Not the fucking Romulans, not the Klingons. It's the common threat to everyone. Everyone is is threatened by this.
That's why they had to make a movie about the whole thing.
Absolutely.
It was such a big deal. What's really funny about it is that, yeah, it's centered around the idea of the Borg, but I don't ever feel like it's that heavy-handed about it, because there's that story of them trying to get to a warp drive,
the first one,
rocket.
And it's a trip, dude, because, like you're saying, like, it's so fucking nerdy and so Star Trek-y, but it's one of the more accessible movies.
Yeah.
Because it's very, like, just a very accessible, fun watch.
The thing that actually made me kind of was like the most fanboy part of it was that you're fanboying out about the Borg while the people in the film, the characters, are fanboying about the guy who did the first rocket, which is fucking cool, because they're like taking pictures with this guy, but
it's their history.
Yeah.
And then, like, the first encounter with the Vulcans.
Mm-hmm.
Which is dope. We're fucking dorks. Did you watch Insurrection?
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, and it's Tom Hardy, which is cool, which is fucking crazy.
No, you're thinking Nemesis.
I'm sorry, Nemesis.
That shit's fucking weird.
That was...
Maybe I did
that
watch.
That was my introduction to Star Trek.
Which one was Insurrection? I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't watch, because I did watch Nemesis this week.
Insurrection has F. Murray Abraham, and it feels like a weak ass episode. Like they go to this planet, and honestly, it fucking sucks. F. Murray Abraham is an alien, and he's trying to and it sucks. I don't want to ever rewatch it.
Maybe I skipped it because I have an internalized bias about it.
Well, that would be... And you don't fuck with the Kirk Star Trek.
I do not fuck with the Kirk Star Trek very much.
Wrath of Khan.
Sure.
Voyage Home. I fuck with all of them, but I fuck especially with 2, 4, 6, 8. And that's Wrath of Khan.
Oh, Voyage Home. It's wrinkly face fuck.
Yeah, that fucking...
Okay. I did not watch it this go around.
What about Undiscovered Country?
No.
That shit's dope!
No.
That shit fucks!
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this. That's awesome. Good for this movie.
Even, like, Search for Spock is pretty cool. It's just totally dork. Fuck it. Search for Spock feels like a fucking... an episode from the 60s with 80s special effects. Anyway.
All right, little homie. What'd you watch?
I'm glad you talked about Star Trek. I feel good. I just wanted to run through, like, because I know one of these was mentioned on the previous show, but, like, I just want to reiterate, Poor Things is fucking great. Because all the movies that came out during the holidays, and I didn't get to all of them, Poor Things is one of my favorites of the year. The Holdovers, one of my favorites of the year.
Great, yeah.
I also watched The Iron Claw, which I thought was very good. And I think the performances are great. I'm going to piss off a lot of the fucking people on Discord by not just being over the moon with it. I thought it was good.
You're the one person I know that wasn't over the moon. I've seen, like, TikToks of dudes going out, like, sobbing and shit.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. And here's...
You know, that's full stop.
And I know this is going to sound obvious. If you took away the tragic stuff, I just felt like I was waiting for the next tragedy to happen in between these scenes.
Yeah.
It feels kind of like a really well done... And the characters, there's so much going on, and they want to get to the big points, which I get it. But I don't really feel like I knew the characters. I knew that, like, one of them went to the Olympics or was trying to go and it didn't work. But I don't really get a feel for the characters. I get a feel for their dynamics with the father... And I get a feel for that they were brothers and very close, but it's you know, it's got a lot of stuff to get to, and it's got a lot of tragic things to get to, and a lot of the scenes in between the tragic stuff, I was like, okay, And Zac Efron got in great fucking shape, and he does a great job, and all and his the actors
face is weird.
The actors are they're great, and I think it's a solid movie. I don't think it's one of the greatest things I've ever fucking seen or any of that kind
so
of
stuff. So you're okay that he's not nominated for anything?
I don't think he should be nominated.
Okay.
Just for getting ripped.
Gotcha.
And crying. But not in this year.
Yeah.
He was in the conversation, like, as a, you know, like, I mean, it's one of the better performances I've seen this year, among 10 or 15 great performances I've seen this year. I'm not saying
there is a lot of, yeah.
It's a fucking, yeah, dude, it's a tough year. It's a stacked fucking year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've never, like, been a Zac Efron hater, because he's too fine. But now he's all fucked up.
But with all that said, it's
a little bit fucked
it's
up.
It's still way better than Killers of the Flower Moon.
Way fucking better. No, and dude, don't get me wrong. This movie has some great fucking, like, the name of this movie is fucking dope for what it, like, I didn't know what it was going in.
I know a lot of people went in completely blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, I don't want to, it's just, when I see the IMDb and, like you said, the people, there's a lot of hyperbole about it in certain circles, and it's kind of like the male Steel Magnolias right now. So, So that's cool, and we'll see how it ages.
That's cool.
And then I saw American Fiction. Fucking love this movie.
I might see it tomorrow.
It's a hard movie to market, and you saw the trailer. It's a perfect role for Jeffrey Wright, who's I've liked in most things he's done, almost all way back since there was a mini series on HBO years ago called Angels in America that was fucking great. That Mike Nichols did. Anyway, been a fan of his for a long time. It's a great role for him. It's got the satire stuff I knew would be there. The shit about identity politics, like, it's fucking great.
First time director, too. He's, like, done nothing before this. And it's fucking crazy.
And he adapted it from a book. But it has a lot of other stuff on its mind, too, about family dynamics.
And that's what... I'm glad they released the second trailer. The second trailer does show more of that with Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is way different in tone than the first trailer. The first trailer made it look a little too quirky.
Yeah.
And mainstream. And this looks like, okay, this almost looks like some clever indie shit, you know?
Yeah. The star of this movie, too, that's the thing. I'm watching it, and I like a lot of aesthetic stuff, like Poor Things, like, for instance, the set design, the costumes, all this stuff. You know, American Fiction, the star of this movie is the ensemble cast and the writing. I'm not saying the visuals aren't good, but it's not a visual. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of aesthetic experience. It's the writing. It's the dialogue.
Yeah. And it's so rare to see Jeffrey Wright in, like, the front and center.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Sterling, Sterling K. Brown plays his brother. It was a fucking trip, dude, because it's the first time I've seen him in a movie since I met that dude when I went to one of those things. And I mean, he was one I actually talked to. He was real fucking nice.
Sterling K. Brown?
Yeah.
Did you open the door for him or something?
I opened the door for him. And
you were like, dude, the Predator is so good.
No.
You didn't say that?
No. I was like, fucking, but everything. What was he in? No,
I'm just Waves.
Yeah, Waves. The fucking O.J. Simpson fucking. Did you see that shit?
No, I didn't watch it. Was that Ryan Murphy?
I don't think so.
No?
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised. It was really good.
Yeah.
Honestly. Anyway, great movie. I won't be surprised. The nominees aren't out yet, right? For the Oscars?
No.
I won't be surprised if it gets an adapted screenplay nomination and maybe Jeffrey Wright sneaks in there for... He's got a lot of nuanced stuff to do. That's a good example. Like, he doesn't have to do the physical work that Zac Efron did, and he doesn't have to just cry, but he has a lot of nuance that he has to do.
Yeah.
A lot has to be going on in his face without him saying it. And, you know, it's not to take away, but you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's how I was with Dream Scenario with Nick Cage. He had some nuanced shit going on. It was very different. And naturalistic and all that. But it just wasn't enough. And I think American Fiction is kind of what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And then the ending, I don't want to spoil anything. I won't spoil anything. I really like the ending and it stuck with me. And it's a ballsy ending. I'll just say that. It stuck with me how it ended. I started Mr. Robot finally. You seen that?
Mm-hmm.
You don't like that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it. I'm loving that show.
The Walking Dead for me.
Dude, I'm in episode 4, and Rami Malek has since blown up, of course, but I'm putting myself back in 2015 when this was all new, and wow, wow, this is great. A year before Trump took office.
Ugh.
Woo!
He's we are.
If he wins, we're fucked. If he doesn't win, we're fucked because they will not accept it. And also, we're fucked anyway with this fucking farting old man.
Yeah.
So we're just fucked.
Yeah, we're fucked. Yeah, it's not like, oh, Trump lost. Shit.
And they're not going to accept it. If he loses, they're not going to accept it. And it's already fucking over, man.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Game over, man.
Game over.
And I watched first episode of Night Country. I'm not going to say anything to you guys. See it. I said stuff on the pre-show already. But because of Saltburn, it's viral stuff, which I really enjoyed. And I mentioned a couple of things about the last episode, but I really enjoyed for the most part, and obviously visually, great performances. The Talented Mr. Ripley, I watched that, and it's kind of like being referenced frequently online too as a movie that has a strong influence on Saltburn. And I hadn't seen it in a few years, and it's
people were really like, oh, it's a poor guy doing rich guy things. Mr. Ripley.
Well, there are a lot of parallels. It's like, even like, so I showed it to Sophia, and I gotta say, this movie's aged really fucking well.
Okay. Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah. It's one of the best looking movies, probably, of the 90s. I'll say that now. Like, Anthony Minghella directed. Hmm. He had done The English Patient, which was boring as fuck to me. And that means something if I'm saying it. Because I watch some boring shit that I like. I'm just kidding. No, but
it's true.
It is true. And then Jude Law's fucking great in this. Even Gwyneth Paltrow's great in this, which is like, when the fuck was the last time you said that?
She's good like once every 20 movies.
She's good before Chris Martin and Goop. But even then, once every 20 movies. Yeah, because like Great Expectations, not good.
Not
Seven,
good.
Barely in it, but good.
Yeah.
And
same with Contagion. Like, she's in that movie for like 15 minutes and then like, yeah, it's good, but she's dead.
Yeah, convincing.
Yeah.
Convincing in her 15 minutes.
Convincing corpse.
Yeah, and then like in Iron Man, it's like, cool. You want to fuck Tony. Cool. No. Wait, and then you're not going to put up with his shit, but you want to bang him.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Talented Mr. Ripley, and it was like very Hitchcockian, and then did the fucking deep dive with the Wikipedia, and there are some Hitchcock connections and other stuff, but... Without going on and on about it. Fun watch. I'd highly recommend it. A good psychological noir.
Damn. So okay. on the video game front, I finally started playing a little bit of Lethal Company.
Yeah.
Have you played this shit yet?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, man. We have got... You and I have
we
got
to play. Yeah.
I had...
You suck at it, too?
I mean...
Because I'm pretty bad at it.
What do you mean suck, dude?
Like, I haven't gotten past the initial, like, three starting planets. That's all I know.
I don't, dude. I am playing with my cousin's husband, my cousin's fiance, and my cousin's boyfriend.
Okay.
So I'm basically being handheld through this whole experience. But holy shit, man! It's so much fun, and it's the jankiest looking game,
and it works,
and it's awesome.
Yeah.
The jump scares are super fun.
The way the sound mixing, like how it works with the proximity chat, and you're in these empty corridors, and how it echoes, and you can hear your teammates screaming and getting murdered on the other side of the wall, is fucking so good.
My favorite moments are where you're doing something stupid, and you're like, "I'm just gonna," and then you're done.
It cuts out. You're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this game, Rhett, Lethal Company, it's a 4-player co-op. You play these space salvage people, and you just go to these planets, and you go into these fucking interior doors, and what's inside these doors, behind these doors, is all randomly generated. It's different for every playthrough. And you're just a salvage team collecting scrap and selling it, and it's filled with all of these, like, cryptid-style creatures, and you have to just meet a quota.
Yeah.
And there's, like, this Lovecraftian god that you have to serve and feed him your scrap metal or that else.
Sounds dope.
It's fucking nuts, man.
And it sounded kind of like that one where that show where it's a reality show where they go open up, like, people's storage things.
Storage Wars, it's basically Storage Wars, but Lovecraftian.
The amount of teamwork that's required to get like past a certain point in the game is insane. Like, you actually have to have a guy in the chair type thing, and you're in the ship and you're overlooking the computers and you see the cameras and the radar. You could see the map, but they don't. And you have to communicate everything to them and tell them where shit is.
Oh, is that how you're supposed to play?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. We don't play like that, dude. We're dick dangling the entire fucking time, man. We had one instance where so we were playing with my little cousin, who's not so little anymore. He's like 13, but he goes, "Oh yeah, I bought walkie talkies." It's like, okay, cool. Where do we get them? Oh, the ship already left. It's like, you fucking fuck.
Yeah.
Every gameplay loop is very emergent, so like none of it is ever the same.
Is it divergent? The whole series?
Neurologically speaking, yes.
Oh, dope.
As soon as you touch down, you have 10 minutes, I think, right?
Yeah.
To get fucking everything you need, and it moves really fast, and there's so much danger, and it's fucking terrifying, and like your fucking flashlights can go out, and... Yeah.
And the game looks dumb as fuck. Like, you're like, oh, this can't be scary. But
it's super jank, but it's polished.
The first time we encountered a giant outside, I go, well, I get, I'm running. I'm running for my life.
Wait up. Let me ask you, either of you, both of you.
Yes.
Did I mention Rebel Moon before?
No. No, I've been waiting.
I watched that over the holidays. Neither of you watched that?
So I waited. I thought I heard rumors that the director's cut was going to come out in January.
Who gives a
and it got
gonna,
it got delayed
gonna,
to
gonna Zack Snyder us and yeah, it's going to be good.
He's just doing it intentionally at this point, cuz I already know it's going to be so fucking awful looking at your face right now.
Bro.
And I figured if I'm going to watch it once, I do want to watch an R-rated director's cut.
No, watch the one that was released. Not the like,
you're like,
but wait, is my downloadable content version that makes it better? Like,
that's you really want me to watch it?
Why wouldn't you? Don't you want, like, you, dude?
Well, if you had the choice,
for context, if people, because not everyone, these are horror people.
People.
If you know who Zack Snyder is, then you know. If you don't, well, okay, he did Man of Steel, he did Dawn of the Dead. He comes from the same, like, school of directing as Michael Bay. They both started in the commercial stuff in the 90s. He's great with slick visuals, honestly. He did Sucker Punch, which was a piece of shit movie.
Piece of shit.
Some great visuals. Great visuals. Literally. Piece of shit movie with some great... It's so crazy.
Yeah.
He did a fucking The Owls of Ga'Hoole, which is odd. A CGI owl movie. And then he did Watchmen.
300, Watchmen.
He did 300. And so obviously the earlier part of his career, 300, Watchmen, Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
As things progressed, things got a little bad. We got Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. What did he do after that? What am I missing here?
Justice League.
And
Man
also,
of Steel, yeah.
And,
he's kicked off.
Released the Snyder Cut, and they released the Snyder Cut, and everyone's like gushing about it. I'm like, this is fucking
still trash.
4 hour trash.
It's better trash, but it's still trash.
It's still, and it's 4 hours.
I watched the Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder cut for the first time back to back. 6 hours, bro.
That's why you need to watch Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends.
Jesus
back to back.
Christ, man.
That's fucked up, Jacob.
That's fucked up.
You guys
make fun of me for watching The Walking Dead for like half a season. You're like, I watched the fucking Justice League.
You watched half a season of, but at least like Justice League, like he's like swinging for the fences with hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's all about the extremes with me. It's
like, don't you forget just like Walking Dead as soon as you watch it. You watch like fucking 20 hours of it and you're like, what happened? Kind of, right?
Well,
like,
yeah.
Well, I remember fucking The Owls of Ga'Hoole.
I'm just kidding. I was there.
No, yeah. But anyway, so Rebel Moon, he went to fucking Disney to pitch a Star Wars movie, yeah. Right?
He wanted to do R-rated Star Wars.
He wanted to do a hard R-rated.
Thinking they were going to approve that, you know?
Yeah, he wanted to do a hard R-rated Star Wars, which is like, oh, that sounds cool. It might sound cool. It doesn't mean it's going to be good, especially from this fucking guy. Especially if he's the writer. Like, no, don't do this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyway, they said no. They said, fuck off.
They said no.
We're making our own trash Star Wars, and we don't need your R-rated trash Star Wars. And so he goes to Netflix, and Netflix fucking laps it up like a bunch of idiots and throws him a budget. And this movie was god fucking awful. One of the worst movies I saw last year. It was unbelievably soulless and fucking awful. And, damn, dude. Like, what... there's memes about it. Like, I'm late. I'm real late. If you're chronically online or even a little bit online and follow movies, you already seen the memes. Like if
everybody loves it.
No, they don't.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, they don't. Like, yeah, even the Snyder fucks are like, they're just silenced.
No. Yeah, no, they're just quiet.
Yeah, yeah, like they got to be quiet. They got to be quiet because it's fucking trash. And yeah. Oh, and then Jacob sent a thing today. I guess there's some tie-in with Forever 21. You can get the jackets.
They probably planned this merch before the movie came out, and then they're like, fuck, this movie sucks, but we still got to put it out. So they put out Rebel Moon jackets and trousers from Forever 21. Yeah,
it's a fucking bummer, too. One of my coworkers, she's an old, I don't need to mention her name. She's like, she's really good at her job.
He was going to name her ass. He was going to like hit like Larry.
Fucking Linda at the office. She's
a really great counselor. Really good at her job. And just a casual movie watcher.
Let me guess. Like, did the conversation go, oh, I know you like movies. Did you watch Rebel Moon?
That's almost verbatim. She's all, I watched the craziest fucking movie. It's on Netflix. Rebel Moon. Did you see it? And I was like, I put my hands in my fucking, my hands.
Every
and there's like five people out.
You put your hands in your hands, dude?
Shut up. That's hard.
He went like,
I put my hands in my hands. I put my face in my hands. And we're at a table with like 13 people on the team. And I did this because I just couldn't control myself. Oh,
yeah.
And she's like, what? What? I'm like, Heather, it was fucking awful. It was awful.
God damn. Wow, that dude. Was, that, that's
I,
fucked up,
I think, man. every movie nerd has that coworker. Like mine today, my coworker today was like, Jacob, did you watch Night Swim? And I was like,
dude, mine is, you know what's down. Fucked gulag, up about that dude. Shit? This is it's, a gulag mine is for my you. Fucking boss, man. He'll fucking ask me. He'll be like, hey, dude, you fucking, and I'm like, I just like, what made you think what made you think that I would enjoy this? Like, I know I talk shit about, you know, or I talk about a lot of movies, but what made you think that, like, the creator, you were like, oh, fuck, it's so good. I'm like, yeah, okay, pump the brakes. It was fine, but chill.
Yeah.
It looked cool.
I end up offending those coworkers, too, because sometimes they'll talk about, like, I'll talk about shitty movies, too, and I'll be like, but you'll like it. I think it's shit, but I think you'll like it. And it's like, oh, you think I like shitty movies?
Yes.
Yes, like, yeah. You do. Yes. Yeah, I do. Yeah. We're all, it's like, everyone's entitled to their opinion, like, until you say that.
The difference is, look, man, the difference, you really have to draw the line. You have to tell them, like, I like shitty movies because I enjoy them being shitty.
Yeah, we are not the same.
You like shitty movies because you're dumb.
I think that's what I have to communicate.
Well, you can dismantle their whole process by saying, what's the last really bad movie that you fucking loved watching?
Interesting.
And they won't they'll be like, why would I love watching a bad movie? Exactly. Don't fucking talk to me. Get the fuck out of here. Go back to the shallow end of the pool. You can't swim out here.
You can't night swim with us here.
Yeah. Rebel Moon's something else. I fucking highly recommend you guys watch it. Like, you too. You should have watched that. That shit's on Netflix.
I almost hit the button.
I would be surprised if you started that you got through it, because it's tough.
Okay.
Well, I'm surprised that Snyder's going to take this long to put it. I really thought like the director's cut's going to be like a couple weeks after, so I'm just going to wait. And like, there is no release date. It's like going to be probably summer or fall this year, and I'm not going to wait that long, so I'll probably watch.
All right.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
That's going to be an episode, I guess. Sounds like there's a lot to unpack here.
Troll Courtney, tell her you heard a lot of good stuff about it.
I think she'll see through that shit, though, man.
Maybe.
I think she knows it's fucking trash.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Is that it?
Yeah.
How'd you like the rodeo this weekend?
Here in San Diego, we had the first rodeo within San Diego city limits, not the county, but within the city limits.
Historical.
The first one since the early 80s at Petco Park. But also, that's fucking irony. Petco Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pets.
Mm-hmm.
The first rodeo, a three-day event. And, yeah, man, we gone backwards 40 fucking years, dude.
In more ways than one.
In yeah, way more ways than
it
one.
It was a great time. People brought their families out, their kids out, and they witnessed a fuck horse
people.
Fucking kill itself.
Just kill itself. Yeah. Just fucking like, well, I guess this wasn't yeah. this wasn't for me.
See,
dude.
These animals, they're having fun.
They
see?
Did everything they could to save him.
Just commit suicide in front of everyone? Yeah.
All he did was dig his spurs into his ass a little bit.
All he did, all we, look, all we did... was tie up his testicles in an uncomfortable way. We made this motherfucker jump around for 14 seconds. Yeah. Is it our fault that he killed himself?
Look, Ma, 8 seconds.
I don't think so. Yeah. Look. At the end of the day, you can't blame me for wanting to ride on this horse for 8 seconds.
He's like, son, that's life. That's life right
hey,
there.
Hey, you ever watched the movie 8 Seconds, brother?
Ooh. It's supposed to be a good movie.
It's supposed to be, but it's one of the best movies I've ever seen in my whole life.
Oh, shit. What about True Country?
Fuck that movie. You know what movie's also good?
Coal Miner's Daughter.
Seabiscuit.
Oh, hey,
it's fucking fantastic.
Whoa. Don't attack Seabiscuit. If you're going to fucking punish animals, do it in a classy way.
Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Let me tell you what.
Warhorse.
Let me tell you what. What's that fucking movie with Jim Caviezel that just came out not too long ago?
Sound of Freedom?
Sound of Freedom, brother.
We most heard important
that,
movie.
We year. Heard that shit all weekend long. The Sounds of Freedom.
You know what? There are people that watched that and went to the rodeo.
Of course we did. Of course we fucking did,
that's
dude.
That's fucking terrible.
Hey. Don't fucking say terrible.
I thought Rebel Moon was the threat, and it's not. What was I thinking? Damn.
Yeah, there's in that whole stadium, there's at least 100 people, 100 families that watched Sound of Freedom that the same day. Night. Yeah.
Or that, like, before. They got themselves jacked
they
up.
They pre-gamed with Sound of Freedom, yeah.
Fuck. And went to Golden Corral in El Cajon.
Hey, well, hey,
have you ever been to Golden Corral?
No, I can't say that I have.
I have. And it's not good. It's literally not good. And I like Hometown Buffet when it existed. So if I'm saying it's not good, it's not good. Because Hometown Buffet is fucking trash.
Have you been to the big Big Bear Cafe in El Cajon?
Oh yeah.
It's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. No, yeah, they got some good restaurants out there. They better because they'll fucking Karens will drag their Yelp down.
Mm.
That shit'll get shut down. You better fucking make a good sandwich.
All right, well that's the review of the San Diego Rodeo. Yeah. We'll be back in a couple of moments.
I fit dude. In there. I dare you.
Put what on?
I fit in there.
By whom?
Smokey Robinson, the legendary Motown genius songwriter, Smokey Robinson. It was brought to our attention. Jacob found it. He did an album in 2023 called Gasms.
Gasms.
Gasms, referring to, yes, you got it, orgasms.
Mm.
It's got wonderful songs such as Gasms, How You Make Me Feel, I Want to Know Your Body, I Keep Calling You, Roll Around Beside You. If We Don't Have Each Other, You Fill Me Up. And ooh,
it's a role reversal.
But watch, I Fit In There. And that's the one I would suggest.
That's the best, yeah.
But I think you're right, Jorge. We've moved out of our Corey Feldman era, and I think we're moving into the Smokey Robinson rapist era.
You think he's a rapist?
I don't know.
Wow, that's bold.
You're like, look at that face.
That face isn't a rapist.
I thought he was a zombie because I thought he's been dead for like 2 decades.
It is fucking unbelievable that someone, I presumably in their early 80s, is like, fuck it, Gasms.
they resurrected his ass to open this fucking album up.
Well, it's like if he wants to make something clear, it's that he still fucks.
Gasms.
Gasms.
Yeah. I really thought it was fake. I saw it. I think it was like Reddit or some shit. I saw a picture of it. I was like, oh, it's like a joke. It's a meme. And I looked it up.
Album art generator or some shit.
In the world of AI, you can't trust anything anymore, you know, when you see shit like that.
Speaking of AI, we're fucking back.
We're back! Speaking of AI, you can use artificial intelligence online and go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast become a Patreon member. You get the episodes early. You get exclusive content before the show. We talked about a lot of important things. We do, though. We talked about a lot of good stuff today, in particular.
Yes. Not only do you get the episodes early, you get the Christmas card late as fuck, which is per tradition.
Christmas card for Valentine's Day.
Basically. Yeah.
And a sticker.
Yes.
And some and a drawing, probably.
We had Thanksgiving for New Year's. We had giant lizard for Christmas. Now we get Christmas cards for Valentine's.
Perfect.
And it's on purpose because it's about, like, you know.
It's subversive. It's
subversive. Yeah. Exactly.
We're not subverting expectations. It's just
being
undermining traditions.
We have everything ready to go, ready to mail out. We're just waiting for February because it's on brand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Of course. And also,
you merely adopted the holidays.
I didn't see the light. He sounds like Sebastian from Little Mermaid right there. I didn't see the light.
I didn't even know what Valentine's Day was.
You also get access to our Discord.
Which is
cool.
It's like, a shithole.
I mean, like, for $1 a month, you get access to our Discord, and it's the best place to go to be.
One of our poor homies hasn't seen electricity for fucking like week and a half.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
And they're using the power
on
their cell phone
to post on the Discord. So that's know it's a dedicated group.
I like the Discord because there's no pressure. It's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, fuck, I better go on here. It's like, no, you can go on, you cannot go on, and we see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? It's not like if you don't respond immediately, there's no pressure. It's not like...
It's a safe haven for people who are a detriment to the horror community.
It's true. It's a safe haven for people on the spectrum.
Yes, most definitely. So the Who Goes Here podcast watched a little film called Virus from 1998, I think it was. Hold on one second. Let me verify that movie.
I think
99. Starring,
one second.
Written and directed by, directed by John Bruno. Written by Juck Farrer and Dennis Feldman. Oh, fuck that guy. Starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Sutherland, William Baldwin, Joanna Pacula, Marshall Bell, Sherman Augustus, a.k.a. poor man's somebody.
Who?
I don't know. Cliff Curtis as your everyday fucking New Zealander.
Yeah.
Julio Oscar Mechoso. As your
squeaky
run-of-the-mill fucking little homie.
Little squeaker. So I do want to point out.
Okay.
King Hans. This is a Hans pick.
I think he's doing it for me.
Well, I think... Well, okay. Well, are those mutually exclusive? Like, I can't say it's a King Hans... No, I'm just kidding. He's like, damn, is Rhett going to go full fucking bipolar right now or what? No, King Hans, the beloved king... The benevolent king, the beautiful king, the bearded king of our Patreon has decreed in his wisdom that we do Virus. And this is why we're here. But also we're here, like Jorge said, I think he's doing it
for me.
For D, being ye. Also, I think you're a big fan of Virus.
I am. Me and Jorge, once upon a time, I had a small little podcast called Horror Hijacked, and I had Jorge as a fucking guest host, and I did aquatic horror, and I did a number of aquatic horror shit, fucking...
Deep Impact?
not Deep Impact. The fucking... It's a Deep Star fucking Six. Leviathan. I think I did Underwater at the same time
you guys did. We did talk about Deep Impact.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, the cruise ship fucking squid one?
Oh, Deep Rising.
Deep Rising.
That's right. Deep Impact is the other...
Deep Impact is the other meteor one. Yeah. I'm sorry. Morgan bad.
Freeman, President,
yeah, Asteroid. Episode you were on, we did Deep Rising and Virus double feature, and it was nice.
That was
and
fun.
It was fun. So, yeah, I am a fan of this movie, but... At this age, I do have to stop watching it. I have seen it so many times, but because of my nostalgic love for this movie, as an adult, I have to not watch it because I will only hate it more and more. Mm-hmm. I know it's not a good movie. I know
I totally understand why Jamie Lee Curtis says it's the worst film of her career.
Well, but in a career that includes Halloween Ends, that's fucking...
Yeah,
that's
really she was crazy. Like, I want the director of H2O to direct this movie instead. That's what she said. She tried to get fucking John Bruno fired to get the fucking H2O guy behind this. So that's something else. But I do still like it with, you know, knowing I've only watched like a third of it before this episode because I know too much of it.
And you got it in memory, man.
Yeah, I got it in memory.
And that shit's in RAM, homie.
Of, you know, based off my love for it and the last time I watched it, I do still like it, and I completely recognize all of its flaws, and there is quite a bit. But, you know, it's really, in the end, it's just an exercise of special effects with a plot added on as an afterthought. And if what you want is special effects and practical effects, I still don't think it'll fucking satisfy you because this fucking movie drags for the first half. But when it does get going, there's some cool shit. I don't think there's enough to really fucking satisfy, like, the fucking whatever, whether you're Gorehound or you love practical effects. I don't think it even lives up to it. I think there's other movies now today that completely outpace the special effects of this.
It exemplifies that meme of like, hey, mom, can we get fucking The Thing? And she's like, no, we got The Thing at home, and it's a fucking the poster of
literally
virus.
Because I did watch this VHS a million times as a kid. Me and my sister used to quote all the time. We would just shamble around like zombies and be like, Steve. Steve. Until this day, we still fucking say that.
And it's not Virus wasn't an original idea. It was based off of a comic from 93.
I got you.
You got me?
I got you.
Which doesn't, you know, it doesn't change the fact that the idea apes things from, you know,
John Carpenter. Yeah. Not only that, but the guy who wrote the comic, he initially wrote it as a screenplay and pitched it to Universal, then it was rejected.
Yeah, and the technology is not there yet.
He liked the underlying concept, and so he contacted this guy at Dark Horse Comics, and the guy who wrote this screenplay, he had previously written...
He actually contacted Dark Horse?
The Dark Horse.
Wow, no, dude, that's crazy.
He previously wrote a comic book sequel to John Carpenter's The Thing, titled The Thing from Another World. So not only is this aping The Thing, the guy actually wrote a sequel.
He was like, oh, let me copy your homework.
Yeah. Anyway, the miniseries was a big success.
You read the comic. I actually haven't read the comic. As big of a fan I am of the movie, I haven't read
the comic before the movie.
Yeah.
In fact...
I'm gatekeeping.
In fact, I think you got us copies of the comic book from Comic-Con.
I think I did.
Many years ago.
Was there
remember seeing this in the theater?
Yes.
I don't know if we saw it together, but I saw this in the theater.
Yeah.
So did you like the comic? Like, were you fucking hyped when they announced there was a movie years later?
Potentially. I mean, back then, like in the age of Wizard magazine, which was fucking dope, any kind of potential comic adaptation, which was few and far between, like was
there very... There wasn't many back then.
Yeah, it was very exciting. And it was crazy. There weren't many, but they were adapting Virus and Spawn and... They suck.
They both suck.
No, but Virus, by the way, I mean, do we want to continue with our individual take?
Well, yeah. So, look, it is. I am unapologetically a fan of this movie, but it is garbage. It is a garbage film that has not gotten better over the years. I think you're right, dude. I think, like, I need to stop watching this movie and think fondly about it because... Yeah. There are stretches of this film where nothing happens, dude. They're on a boat, and then they're talking about being on a boat, and then talking about
maritime,
like, how hard it is being on a boat, and my profits, and this and that, and Sutherland is chewing up scene with like
shitty Irish accent,
whatever
that
the
is.
Fuck accent he has, he is chewing up scenes, and I go, dude, get me to the belly of this fucking boat. So I can see some shit. 45 minutes pass by, dude.
And they spent like another 20 trying to start the boat up. You're like, what the fuck?
45 minutes pass by and I go, oh shit, here we go. It's the scene. And then we get 5 seconds of it. And then it's like, okay.
The robot's booting up again.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. Oh, sure. Fuck. Okay. Let me come. And it's not letting me come, dude. I'm...
It's flaccid. It doesn't let you come. It doesn't let you get hard.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't let me come, dude.
No, it's heartbreaking to watch now as an adult. I was like, damn, dude. That's fucking Hey, shit. And then when it gets good, it is so rushed. I mean, you got Richie who disappears and then comes back fucking full on, gone straight up like FUBAR. Like, he's just crazy and he's got rocket launchers and he made a nuke. And you're like, oh, what the fuck?
He loses his mind in one scene and it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You're talking about the black dude.
Yeah.
And then he shows up later with his... He's muttering to himself about, I was head of the fucking...
Head of the Navy, blah, 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 blah.
Weapons master, yeah, blah, blah, blah. He says everything except, like, you got me fucked up, which would have been dope if he said that.
And he's got a crazy smile on his face, like, during that whole scene.
And then he shows up again later, though, with his fucking night vision goggles and everything, yeah. Which is fucking... Dude, and so... I've seen this movie before. It'd been a few years. Quite a few years. And yeah, I agree with you guys. And you mentioned, get away from that door, mister. Like his accent, his Irish accent's crazy. The cast is crazy.
There's the stereotypes just across the board. Every character, like Russian, fucking black, Hispanic, like all of it's fucking nuts, man. Squeaky.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in this, which is bonkers. Yeah. Like, because she has nothing to do. She has like, you can see it too. So obviously The Thing is a reference point. But this is one of those, this is like, this belongs to me, and hear me out, with Species. This is a 80s sci-fi horror hybrid.
Yeah.
And it's in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And it's aping those tropes, mostly very badly.
Yeah.
However, it does have, and I'm sure we'll come back to it later, like when in those brief effect scenes, the longest like ongoing effect scene I that I recall is Donald Sutherland, and he goes to try to talk to the fucking
he just
walks in. He was like, I'd like to fucking strike a deal.
He goes, clicky clacky clicky clacky, I'm one of you, clicky clacky clicky clacky, yeah. Meet us in the fucking schoolyard, bro.
Yeah, I am the something organism. And you go in there and you see all this horrific fucking grotesque machine fucking gore stuff going on.
He's like, okay.
Which, again, I'll go ahead and say it formally. This electromagnetic entity, as portrayed in this film, is on meth. Because it shows up and it's like, I'm going to fuse, like, I'm going to wipe out this virus, which is humanity. Which is, okay, cool. And the way I'm going to do that is by tinkering with your bodies in ways like a fucking methed out idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put like a fucking camera in your head, and I'm going to take your brain and put this over here because it looks spooky. And then if you hit me, if you push me downstairs, I'm fucked.
I'm dead.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing.
I know they didn't actually do that, but it's close.
No, you're not that far off, man, because it's not like they took like important pieces of a body and were like, yeah, we're integrating this into the technology. They're like, no, it's a rib cage.
No, it just looks gross.
It just looks fucking gross. And it's like a spider with a rib cage. And it's like, well, what? But pero por qué?
Yeah. Yeah. What? Why did you do it like this? Like what? This is a fucking reject ass electromagnetic entity.
Yeah, well, there's that fucking scene where they encounter the first like android, and they're, you know, they've got him on the table, and they're like, oh, dude, but his like his brain is like active still, and they're like, it's perfect, and it's like, well, but he still has a fucking robot brain. Like, what the fuck is the point of having the brain?
Yeah,
it's like, fucking dumb.
The robot brain would probably
supersede the human brain.
Yeah. Like, what do you need with this virus fucking stuff? Like, if you're trying to wipe out the virus, also you would, I mean,
why integrate it?
Why fucking integrate it? Right.
Yeah. And we should talk, for those, the listeners that have never seen this movie, it sounds like we're talking to like the story, the evil villains, like AI, but no, this is like a sentient alien electricity.
Which I like. No. Well, I look, dude. Yeah. Open your mind.
You're not wrong, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a fucking dope. I like that idea.
Yeah. If you jumped in watching this movie, you would think it's AI, but not like we're dealing with aliens in this movie.
Yeah, it's not a cellular entity. It's based on electricity, right? And so it's a different density of matter.
It's the electric gremlin.
Yeah, and the movie starts out with the fucking Russian ship
The Volkov.
Volkov. You guys know your shit. Yeah, and it's connected to these satellites, and the satellite gets bombarded with this electromagnetic.
No, it's the Mir space station, dude. That's the craziest part. It's like, you know what, dude? What's in space? The Mir space station, bro. Like, that's up there.
And since it's connected via the satellite,
yeah,
it travels down to the ship. And then it's on the ship. So you have, basically, it's kind of like it's a haunted house type deal, but not ghosts on the, not but ghost ship.
Not, but electric.
But meth electromagnetic. Meth
electric.
Meth electric.
Yeah.
It's a meth ship.
Yeah. and that sounds so terrifying on paper. A meth electric ship. But it's there's no tension or anything or suspense. No suspense.
Dude, you know there's what, dude? I think yeah. like you calling this alien race or whatever the fuck it is like a bunch of meth heads. It's right on, dude. Because they're like fucking like, dude. Okay, fucking give me that shit, dude.
Let me take that apart.
Let me take that shit, dude. Let me see his arm. And there's like.
they're not efficient.
It's like wait.
It's meth Borg. It's the Borg, but like on meth. Like
it would have
can't
been,
do anything
it,
right.
It might as well have just stayed in electricity form and just fucked everything up. But it was like, no, let me just take control of a bunch of like 90s ass technology.
Yeah. Well, and the funniest bit of the whole thing is that like, well, it's just a ship in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, what's it gonna do? Like, the electricity stops there. Like,
there were better places to jump into.
The power was off. It was already actually dead. Like, the power was off when they arrived. It fucking failed.
It took Billy Baldwin to fucking restart these motherfuckers to be like, oh, shit. Oh, we're alive again.
Yeah, and then they... Okay, so the crew that finds this ship... They want to use it. They want to salvage it.
Yeah, because they had a little setback in the beginning. They lost all their cargo, and for some reason,
right?
And they had Donald Sutherland put all everything into this cargo.
Not insured, by the way.
Not insured.
Unbelievable. Right.
And like you said, all the stereotypes. Like they want to split potentially $300 million because it's got all this government equipment and stuff,
and it's derelict, meaning there's no one on board, so they can claim
it. It's in international waters.
Yeah.
So and et cetera, which is like I don't want to say potentially interesting, but it's like okay, you got that, you got a plot mechanism here, yeah. And then it's like, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis doesn't like it. Why? Because she can't like it because her character doesn't like this.
She has to challenge anything. Yeah. She has to challenge the captain.
And I don't understand why she's there with these people, with these men. What would she be doing? What's she doing there?
Just being hot, yeah. Dude.
Just being hot in her purple shirt.
with her
lesbian haircut.
Dude, I love fucking Squeaky. He's like, you don't think she's hot, dude? I do.
don't leave me alone here, dude. Don't leave me alone here too long, dude.
And it's like crazy because again, revisiting the 80s tropes, sci-fi horror hybrids, right? Sci-fi horror, even action hybrids. This is her opportunity. Like she's already Laurie Strode. She can like Sarah Connor here, right? She can Ellen Ripley this. This is her opportunity for that, and it does not give it to her. Like. She doesn't get to do anything but scream and act bad. And she does not act well in this movie.
No.
She doesn't act well. Like, you know, and I'm not saying... Jamie Lee Curtis has fucking done a great job in quite a few films, I'd say.
Yeah.
Obviously, right? But...
yeah, she ends up being, you know, right up there with fucking Baldwin. And but the whole movie, you think Baldwin's the main guy. Then yeah. She kind of steps up, but her character's... fucking so two-dimensional at that point. There's nothing to salvage.
Also, right. the idea that well, this is me like projecting, you know, to a Putin-ruled Russia, that he would pay any amount of money for this fucking ship is hilarious to me. Be like, scuttle it, dude. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, maybe. This is like, what is this, the Gorbachev era?
No, this was Boris Yeltsin.
Ah, Boris, yeah. Well, I don't know shit about Boris.
Well, this is Boris Yeltsin, 99, and then Putin took power in 2000 for a short bit.
Oh, yes. And so, of course, when they get on the ship and weird things start going on, like the anchor fucking dropping on their ship, which they respond to, but also don't respond like as alarmed as you would think they would. Like, that's a...
Not only that, dude, but
like, Curtis, you guys are fucked now. Like, yeah. If you don't make it to shore with this ship, that's
you're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were we going
to
say?
Well, no, I was going to say Cliff Curtis takes a literal anchor to the leg. and they're like, oh, he just needs some stitches. He's good. And it's like, he drowns. He ends up drowning in this fucking thing. And it's like,
he can't swim.
He can't.
He says that. I can't, which is like, why put that in the movie?
Also, like, he's of like Maori blood.
And can't swim,
which is crazy to me. He lives on a fucking island. His people are from a fucking island.
Yeah.
This motherfucker can swim. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because he's got tattoos on his face from his tribe. Like, they taught you how to swim. You didn't get the tattoos on your face and not know how to swim. you don't take out a cultural artifact.
You seen Avatar 2, dude?
Yeah, well.
Well, Cliff Curtis was the guy.
It's like, yeah. He's like, I've already done this character. Yeah.
Speaking of Deep Rising,
yeah,
he plays
the henchman,
basically the same character,
which
man.
Is fucking dope.
It's crazy.
Deep Rising, way greater than Virus. Sorry.
Also,
his career wouldn't be better than successful as it was if it wasn't for these two movies. Not that it's that successful.
Do you think that's true? Deep Rising is better than Killers of the Flower Moon.
Having
1,000%.
Having not seen Killers of the Flower Moon, I agree.
Are you gonna watch it on Apple
Plus
now?
No, not anymore, dude. You guys have
imagine trying to bait people to get your streaming service with that piece of shit movie.
You guys have memed it so hard that I haven't watched that or The Killer because I'm like,
you're just gonna make fun of it whole time.
That was me. That was me, dude.
I can't anymore. It's so great. Yeah,
it's. The killer is dead last for Fincher's film. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah, below Alien 3. Yeah. Well, he's like, oh. No, but back to this lovely movie. Oh, when they get on the ship, of course they think when stuff starts going weird, they figure there's some other people on the ship and they figure it's some remaining Russians. So when the fucking dude is it Squeaky?
Mm-hmm.
He's peering into a fucking vestibule or a hole, and because he sees some movement from some wires,
yeah,
and he like sticks his whole body in there, which is like, this is what you would do, like if you think someone's on the ship still.
They're trying to capture Ridley Scott alien.
Oh,
shit,
I know. But this is like you're thinking it's a human being that's potentially armed and was trying to kill you.
Yeah,
so you wouldn't just peek your head in there. And then he says something amazing. He says, listen, I'm a friend, all right? I'm Cuban, not American. Hello? Right?
He thought it was immigrants, dude.
So he thought, like, since we're both communist, like, we're both from communist countries, he won't want to kill me.
Mm.
Which is, that's crazy. And then that's the guy who gets turned into the guy who says Steve repeatedly. That's what I mean.
Steve.
He gets fucking upgraded to a fucking person... who just says Steve over and over again and can't do shit. He's slower.
Yeah.
He's slower.
He's not upgraded
at all. He's not upgraded.
And you're the quote-unquote action scenes in this movie, it's like Resident Evil PS1. It's like a corridor. Here's a robot, and everyone just stands and shoots at it, and it does nothing.
Well, and it's like the robots have tank controls.
Right, yeah. Everybody's got tank controls. It's just, it's very clunky as fuck. It's not kinetic. It's very low energy. Which is a shame because, like, the special effects are so fucking good. But it's almost like, because of the limitations at the time of what they can do with the practical effects, like, your robots can only move so much. Like, everything is pretty stationary.
Yeah.
Unless it's on a dolly. Like, I don't know if you guys watched some of the behind the scenes. This guy, Steve Johnson, did all the robot special effects specifically, and it was ahead of its time. It's considered one of the very first special effects using actual robotics and not like traditional puppetry. Like, they had a fucking dude on the set with the telemetry suit that looked like Elysium, like exoskeleton, like robot jocks. Every time he moves his arm, the robot moves its arm. Mm-hmm. And they actually use that type of technology, which is fucking cool, instead of like the standard levers and servos and controllers. But like, I know it's fucking cool, but it's a shame that just this wasn't, it didn't capture like the vision that
it ain't had. It, fam.
Well, no, it's a great, like, a couple episodes ago when we discussed Godzilla Minus One, that director and writer and visual effects guy, he He's a visual effects artist.
Yeah, there was probably
the transition to director.
There was hype for this when it was in production. This dude fucking collaborated with James Cameron during like the peak of his shit.
This is one of those examples where most of the time, I mean, Godzilla Minus One is a fucking exception, but a lot of the time when special effects guys try to transition into being directors, it doesn't go well. Like Spawn was another one, right? But like, yeah, just like you're mentioning, Jacob, like Terminator 2, True Lies, Titanic, Avatar, The Abyss.
Yeah, the ship in this movie is the ship from The Abyss.
He also worked on visual effects as the animation supervisor for Poltergeist. The animation in fucking Poltergeist is dope as fuck.
Yeah.
Like all of, you know, all the spectral shit.
Yep.
Ghost, it's some of the best 80s animation, like, of that type.
Yeah, right? His special effects resume is fucking super stacked.
Ghostbusters, another, again, like, special effects is just phenomenal. Cheech and Chong's The Corsican, no, we don't need that. Fright Night, Poltergeist 2, and then, of course, Batman Returns.
Yeah, he was nominated for Oscars and shit like that for special effects.
Unfortunately, he did Jorge's favorite film, 2004's Alien vs. Predator.
Hell motherfucking Jaeger.
X-Men The Last Stand.
Oof.
Woo! Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Well, you're getting post virus. This is when he's like falling apart.
Movie 43. He did the ball chin. That would be dope. If he's the dude who did the ball chin, it checks out.
Everything. Yeah, we'll take everything back.
But yeah, obviously just fucking insanely.
Yeah, his directing though, it's literally. This. And then the Terminator 3D show at Universal Studios. That's like his entire fucking filmography as a director. And that makes
more sense because it's like 4 minutes. Like, right?
He's this fucking guy. He was like, you know, it's not for me. This was a mistake.
Also, like, we're looking at this. 1999, it's been a few years, right? About almost quarter century now. Mm. Budget was $75
million. It's almost time for our 30th high school anniversary. Can you believe it? Are you going
to
go?
No, because we have social media to see how everyone's doing.
And everything. Supposedly. Everybody's fucked.
Everyone has, who has kids and who's fucked, who's been divorced several times, who's alive, who's dead, who's not admitting things, and who says everything's going good, who's Christian, who voted for Trump. It's all fucked.
That's the one, that's the most telling one. Who voted for Trump?
Oh, it's over for you.
Yeah.
Gulag time.
Gulag, dude.
It's the gulag.
Hammer time. To the head.
Fucking, what does it mean, too, right? Like, gulag time and a hammer. Because the gulag is like work camp. What do you mean a hammer? It means, like, you're probably going to suck in the work camp, so it's hammer to your fucking head, man.
This hammer
is
time.
This is what happens.
Yes.
But $75 million budget, that's pretty big for an R-rated sci-fi horror film.
Yep.
So big opportunity here to make a dope-ass fucking thing, because they're throwing a lot at this. Box office was $30 million, so this was a big commercial flop.
You know what it lost to?
Tell me the goods.
A little movie called Prince of Egypt. January. I think Prince of Egypt came out December, but it was like dominating for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, it was.
And I had no chance. Had no chance in January.
Yeah, no shot, dude.
How could you have a chance against Val Kilmer voicing Moses? Jesus Christ. it's better if you're gonna have white people play Egyptians and stuff, then at least, you know,
at least watch
just the voice. Oh, not Gods and,
at least watch The Mummy.
What was Gods and Kings? Remember that Ridley Scott one?
Yeah,
that's fucking crazy. We live in a world where Ridley Scott made a movie with Moses played by Christian Bale, and I haven't even seen it because it looks so fucking trash.
Yeah.
Like, Ridley Scott is something else, dude.
He had that era, that, and was it Robin Hood and shit?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, when he hits, it's like, god damn, that's all time great. And then he'll, like, he's in that era, and then The Martian happened. And it's like, oh, okay. You're okay today? Yeah. Like, what's that? It's weird, man.
You got your meds today.
Yeah, cool. Dude. That guy's pushing 90. You know that?
That's, you know that, dude?
Did you
That's
know crazy. That, dude? Well, fuck. He's pushing 90, making like Napoleon, and Biden is like fucking farting.
Yeah. God damn, dude.
But, I'm not. Like, did you see Napoleon yet? I haven't seen it yet.
People,
that's like, fucked. Like, I know. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's supposed to be like the biggest, one of the biggest ones of the year.
Yeah. What were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say people will hear like us saying like, yeah, it's Biden farting, but they're all awful.
Yeah. Oh no, no. I mean, we've already we're not trying to say like
we're not treading Biden new ground farts, here.
Therefore, Trump is good or anyone's. Yeah. They're not, none of them are we're except AOC.
Except her. And the bigger the poster in your house, better.
Be quiet. And I don't have a problem with AOC. But I mean, the longer she stays in politics, the more people she will owe. And then she will be, she'll be a true politician.
She'll be on Epstein's Island. Of course.
She wouldn't need to be on Epstein's Island.
Depending on her taste, she might.
Speaking of which, that fucking whole, the insinuation, the mere idea...
here we go.
The fucking
Stephen Hawking
on that island has made some of the best memes ever.
It's people are almost taking it as fact at this point, you know,
because
it's,
they mention the name, which is great. And that's the I mean, if your name's mentioned at all, yeah, like you're fucked.
Yeah. Do you think if the virus robots were to take Stephen Hawking as one of their own? Do you think they would do the same thing where like they would take his like shitty little legs?
They'd make him walk again. Yeah.
You think they make like his like poor little bones would just be like an erector set and it would be.
That's what happened on Epstein Island.
They'll make it halfway and like, you know, this is fucked. Like let's choose a different, let's choose a different body.
Epstein Island, it's like fucking Kane from RoboCop 2. Like they transfer. They take his central nervous system and transplant it into a fuck body, so he can fuck.
He's, you know, a fuck boy.
You know, Phil Tippett's studio did all the CGI for this.
Well, I gotta think that on Epstein Island, when they're commuting our bodies to the robot. To the robot form, you're gonna have that RoboCop 2 thing where some of them are failing, where you've got like Bill Clinton's head on a fucking like erector set crane, and yeah, it self destructs, right? But then let's say who else was on there?
Well, we got Prince William. He's fucking, that guy's toast. He's the most fucking Epsteinish of them all.
You think he was there?
He was there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that one, they have the log of him actually at the island. It's not just, like, mentioned in conversation.
Yeah.
That guy is on the island. Butt-fucking.
So they've cut his head off and put it on, like, a...
I don't know what he's doing there, but he was on the island. And it's not a good place to be if you don't want to fuck miners off the grid. It's like, you know, what's the draw? What's the draw?
Yeah, other than that.
They got a jacuzzi or what?
I mean, look.
There's
look.
A roller coaster. There's a motion simulator. Like, what's over there?
There's Jamie Lee Curtis on a fucking boat, dude.
Yeah, dude. And then, I mean, fuck. This is like, you know how like Area 51, everyone knows about it, so no one knows about all the other ones?
Yeah. There was Area 1 through 50. Yeah,
that was the whole point of it, right?
That's the whole fuck. This is Epstein's Island is like, hey, there's not any more of these anywhere. Yeah. Like, there's, wow, dude. It's going down. There's a lot of these islands. But we got to get back
because
to
this virus. Is Epstein's Island. There's also
fucking exactly
Clinton's Island.
Yeah. And then if we can, like, everyone's looking at Epstein, like, this is the only dude who ever... Whoever would think to make a business out of this ever.
Dude,
he cornered the market on something, on like the, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
He got it right the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. This has never happened before.
That's fucking crazy. Oh my God, dude.
That's so crazy, dude. Like, we gotta get him. Like fucking, there's probably, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
It's a huge fucking market. I'm with you, dude.
It's bad news, dude. What? No one watched True Detective or anything, you
exactly.
know? But virus. Virus is
human virus. Humans are a virus.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't.
Agent Smith watched this movie. He's like, "That's retarded."
you didn't mention. I don't think you mentioned what you thought of the movie when you first saw it in theaters all those years ago.
Fucking trash, dude.
You didn't like it back then?
No, dude. And I was already. I was like, I'm not. I was already. What does that mean? I was an idiot, and I still am. But I pretended to have some kind of taste while I liked 311. So what do you know? Like, how does this work? It doesn't work.
Both of them can exist.
There was a line, and this is below the line, even back then in junior year of high school. Because this movie...
You thought liking this movie was going to betray 311?
The movie was gross. I remember it having... I thought liking this movie was going to what?
Betray your love for 311?
No, I'm just saying you can't profess to have good taste if you liked 311. So I can't defend... I like fucking... You know, all around the world, statues crumble for
you
me.
You went Sugar Ray.
If you like that song, you have fucking no ground to stand on. And I did. I liked that song and thought this movie was trash at the same time.
That's so crazy.
That is crazy.
So what you're saying is if you like Sugar Ray, you cannot have any opinion on movies at all.
At all. Ever. But I do. But I hate myself for it. You know what I mean? Because there's no you can forgive yourself for things you've done, but there's no coming back from liking Sugar Ray. There's no. No, but this movie, I saw it with my girlfriend in high school,
Jennifer,
and this movie did not hold my attention. And because, you know, you're in a theater with a girl in high school, and it was an excellent movie to be like, this shit sucks. Oh, look, that's gross, and it makes no sense. Let's continue doing what we're doing. This was great for that, you know?
Yeah. So let's continue doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Dude, I fucking... Never mind.
Oh, here we go. No.
No.
Oh, he's saying never mind. Okay.
I made a mistake and watched the Truman Show like that. And so I didn't even see the Truman Show, like the actual movie, till years later. And then I was like, this is a fucking masterpiece. But I just fucking, it was not happening. Like, I saw it in the theater and didn't watch the movie. And that's fucked up.
I distinctly remember the last time that happened, that I went to the theater with a girlfriend and didn't watch the movie. It was House of the Dead.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Truman Show is not a good
choice. No, that wasn't a good one.
Because that movie's fucking dope. But, Virus?
Are you young enough to be like a theater maker outer guy?
No, never. I've been too invested.
The 90s.
He was too movie pilled, dude.
You
weren't just movie pilled. It's internet. Like, why would you make out in a theater? Like, you've already seen Pornhub and shit. Like, you don't see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we were like fucking like, oh, we're gonna like,
it's dark for 2 seconds.
We're gonna do stuff in each other's pants in here. Like, it was a big fucking deal.
It was.
Like, or a bus. If marching band would have we'd take a fucking charter bus to LA pre-dawn.
Or Vegas.
It's time. It's gonna go down because there's no place we could go. So you didn't do any of that shit.
No. When I worked at the theater, I had to break up a lot of that stuff, though, because, like, complaints from other people.
Okay, so it happens.
Yeah. So, let me ask you this. So, because I want to know for next time. So, if there's a couple making out, you're not doing anything?
Like, what do you mean?
You were working at the theater.
Yeah. Oh, no, like, until somebody complains, I'll have to do something. But usually it was, like, not making, it was, like, actual fucking. Like, I've broke up a lot of fucking in theaters.
You've broken up actual fucking
in theaters? You came in and it's all like a Paul Verhoeven
movie. So, yeah, like,
she's all,
No, it was
it's a South Park
episode. It was Kevin Hart's Ride Along 2. It was, like, a near-empty theater, and it was, like, a 40-year-old couple, and the dude was eating out his wife. And he was he was naked from the waist down, like he had his pants down, like they were about to fuck afterward.
Oh,
and, see, I'm glad. This
and
came
like
up.
I just saw his asshole and his dick and ball, the whole thing.
His asshole?
Yeah, it was just the way he was. But it was funny because I was a supervisor.
He's all spreading his ass.
One of the ushers was like, "Hey, Jacob, you gotta go
you
into.
You gotta go take care of business.
Yeah, you gotta take care of house one." And I was like, "Why?" I was like, "Just go. I can't do this." And I was like, "Okay." And I go, and there's only one other person in the front row, and then the two in the back. And I didn't know. I was like, "You can't do this here." You know, like, I was like, "What the fuck? Like, what are you supposed to do?" Like, they were laughing at me too. They're like pointing and laughing, like, "Ah, you fucking idiot!" You know, I was like, "Me?" Like. Yeah. They just laughed their way out of the theater, you know. It was they lost nothing out of it.
So these people were like fucking
straight up,
and then they were like making fun of you because you're like, "Ha, hey, fucking theater guy."
Yeah,
You're fucked up, man. Yeah. You're fucking square.
Yeah, yeah. You're fucking narc.
Yeah, you're fucking. What are you, dude, a cop?
I've had a
cop saying we can't fucking hear.
I had a dude. I've broken up that. I've broken up, yeah, teenagers, whatever, grinding, whatever. And then.
So, what do you mean when you said grinding? Was she like, what do you mean? Like who's sitting like who?
The girl's on the guy.
This motherfucker wants detail. Yeah,
I had to call the cops on one dude who was, he was quote unquote just, he didn't want to go to the bathroom, so he was pissing in his cup. And it was during a kid's movie, Into the Woods, the musical. And he was by himself. And the dude was like, yeah, you're a fucking pedophile. I had to call the cops. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that, dude? Is like,
oh, yeah, we did.
It's the guy pissing in his cup or jacking off in a movie, in a kid's movie, where we're like, oh, that's the line. Yeah. But people fucking in a theater, where we're like, that's cool, dude.
Yeah.
As long as it was empty.
It is. I see what you're saying, and I agree that, yes, that is the line. Fucking in the theater is fine. You by yourself pissing in a cup, get the fuck out. Everyone, you know, like, oh, you're fucking the theater. Look, man, it's kind of like sneaking in candy. If you get caught, you gotta get rid of the candy, you know. And if you get caught fucking, I gotta kick you out. But if you know what I don't, but if you're pissing in a cup by yourself
in a kid's movie
into the woods,
yeah,
it's time,
man.
It's gulag time.
I remember distinctly a memory I had of AMC La Jolla, the one that's like kind of underneath the ground there.
That was the one I worked at. Yeah,
that's the one you worked at.
That was the guy pissing the cup, but I wasn't a supervisor. Then when you become a supervisor, they have to move you to another theater. So that's when I moved to Mission Valley.
You can't be fucking around with your cohorts.
Yeah,
I remember my buddy and I used to bring like a backpack full of beer into the movie theater, and there was. Well, those like they have the concrete steps, and we'd like drop the bottle of beer that went clink 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 all the way down. And I was like, well, fuck, okay.
At least we're not
fucking in that theater.
Yeah.
But to bring it back all the way to a virus, at least we're not fucking it in a theater.
Yeah, it's not good, but. I mean, is it good, not good, or just not good?
Both.
It's not good and has some good practical effects.
If you've Schrodinger's virus.
Oh, and see, hold up. Donald Sutherland goes and says, hey, I'm gonna help you out, you know? And then he shows up all fucked up.
Yeah, he's full on methborg. Yeah, like and you said.
Again, like this is the case in my head. Like, literally lasts about literally like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, they had to shoot everything in one day because he said, "I don't want to ever do any of that crazy makeup shit" in his whole career. And he was like, "I will do it this one time, but it's only gonna be for one day. So you got to shoot all of my methborg scenes in one day only." So they had to do it, and that's why there's barely any screen time of it. They did it all in one.
And what is with his character motivation? Like, they fucking start out, and he's suicidal. He's about to blow his fucking head off.
He's like...
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, oh, salvage opportunity or some shit. And then, once things start going down, he has no fear, like, of this stuff. He thinks it's a big joke. And it's like, well, he already wants to die. It's like, yeah.
Don't we all?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we want to die, but you don't want to fucking die like this and get turned into a fucking, like... A meth board.
A meat puppet.
Yeah, like, that's when you would really, like, if you weren't suicidal, that's when it would start being like, hey, blowing my head off is a good alternative to being turned into a fucking meth board. But he's all about it. Literally!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes no fucking sense. But that's the least, like we're looking for consistent character motives here in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never mind. It's a waste of time.
Humanity? Meth board.
Yeah.
It's a tough choice.
It is a tough choice, but not if you live in East County.
You're already a meth borg if you live in East County. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Or you go to the first rodeo in San Diego history in 40 years, right?
You're
a meth borg.
That's fucked up.
I was harassed by a meth borg like 3 hours ago at Taco Shop. He like singled me out. There was like 20 of us in line for the taco shop. And
The guy just singled me out because he was like, you got $2? And I was like, no, sir, sorry. And he was like, well, fuck you, cracker. And he went crazy. And he was like trying to size me up.
Called you a cracker?
What? Yeah.
He's like, bro, I'm not a cracker. I eat fucking balut.
Yeah. You're like, I'm a, I can't say
anything. I've never even seen a cracker, dude. I eat pan de sal.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm a Pacific Islander. I wear flip-flops all day.
I was like, dude, you know Joe Coy?
You know Joe Coy? He bombed. Yeah. I'm him, dude. Yeah.
Do you wear flip-flops?
No.
Barely.
Jacob
barely.
Would never be caught dead with flip-flops. Dude. Come on now.
Good.
I wear my Wu-Tang Crocs.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well,
my Wu-Tang slides.
Yeah. Hey, what are we going to do next? We're going to decide. We'll figure all that out. Let's not bother these good people with our administrative duties. Mm-hmm. Is that administrative stuff?
It's yeah. It yes.
Kind of is, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you think this year we're going to get some, you think horror will perform better this year than last year?
No.
I do, only because it didn't last year. I think it's also coming into this year, and we mentioned on the previous episode, there's quite a few things that were on some people's top 10 lists that aren't out stateside yet,
yeah,
which will come out this year, and a lot of them sound very promising. Mm-hmm. One in particular that keeps popping up, and I'm curious about, it's the one, I can't, the guy who's in like The Dark Knight, and he's in
yes, it's a talk show. Yeah. He plays a talk show host. It's like the 70s. David Dasmalchian.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
that one.
He's got his first like big starring role, like horror film,
which is great.
I heard it's great. Yeah,
it's like that sounds good anyway, and I'm glad it's supposed to be really good. So like, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, but I don't even know what else is coming out. Oh yeah, we got Scream 2. Mm.
Wait, what, 2?
Or not, excuse me, Smile 2.
Smile 2, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
I was thinking about, I saw this meme.
Let me see that. Let me see. Here,
that's Gatorade, bro. Don't worry. It's not Gatorade and vodka. He's all,
What if, so they canceled.
The implications that you had a fucking thing of vodka in there is crazy.
What they canceled.
It would have been. It would have been half vodka.
They canceled Scream and they canceled Exorcist.
Good.
What if David Gordon Green took over Scream?
Fucking great. Nail it. Fucking drive it into the ground.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fucking,
you want that.
Fuck it up okay. So bad we won't see it for a good 5 years. Because that's how shit's going these days. Mm. Yeah, they're going to keep bringing it back. You know?
Yeah.
This talk like we're having on Discord about what's worse, Halloween Ends and Halloween Kills or Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2. Like, don't stop there. Halloween 4, which fucking these horror people love, that movie's a piece of shit. The mask looks terrible.
I have never been a big fan of Michael Myers. The franchise.
I just pissed off a lot of people. Yeah. I love part 4. Dude.
Dude.
It's not good. It's not a good movie. Like, Halloween Ends is better than Halloween 4. No, I'm just kidding. No. Because have you seen Halloween 4?
That's the return of Michael Myers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it a long time ago, but yeah.
Rewatch it, dude.
Yeah.
We should watch that on the show.
No.
No. Yeah, that's fine. That's
all right, that idiots. Shit. That's a Goozer podcast for episode 404. Next week, we'll talk about something.
I got some ideas.
Oh, this is Jacob.
This is Ree.
This is disappointedly Jorge.
Oh.
Oh.
Bye, Sophia. She fell asleep during this movie.
Well, yeah, of course.
Fuck yeah.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.